Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Here. A quorum is present. We will now post the colors. And Senator Verger will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Our invocation today is Pastor Steve Knox from the First Christian Church in Silverton.
Living and loving God, source of all creation, Mount Hood, Wallowa Lake, every fir and hemlock, the fish in the Tillamook, we thank you for this day and the gift of life. We pray for the people of Oregon, for children at school, men and women at work, homemakers and senior citizens, those of every race and faith in every city and town and farm. We are grateful for the opportunity to serve them and to act as caretakers of this beautiful state. It is a privilege and a daunting responsibility, so we ask your guidance this day. If only for this brief moment, Lord, may we lift our eyes above the noise and pressures and agendas and catch a glimpse of the holy dream for this world which you have planted within our hearts. Then help us to carry that vision into the tasks before us. So grant your wisdom upon each of these leaders. Grant them courage. Grant them wisdom for the facing of this hour. Help them to be careful stewards of the limited resources in which we have been entrusted. May your grace and compassion open their hearts to the needs of people. And may your promised presence be a light upon their path. O God, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve Knox from Silverton. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to Pastor Knox for coming here today and delivering an invocation. Thank you, Senator Verger, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Courtesy to the Senate, recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Good morning, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like you to extend courtesies of the Senate to my guest, Ben Daugherty, who is here. He is a graduate of Claremont McKenna. He is also a graduate of Georgetown Law, father of three, now living in Hermiston. And, Mr. President, if you would extend courtesies to Ben, I would really appreciate it.
Thank you. Ben, thank you for being here. Claremont, of course, is one of the Claremont schools, an extraordinary institution. I think there's five Claremont schools. I think there's five of them. You went to Claremont McKenna. I'm sure I couldn't get into any of them. But they're great schools, and I don't know whether it's Georgetown you're more proud of or Claremont McKenna, but I won't get into Georgetown because I went to another law school. So we're really pleased you could come here today. Really, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on our Senate floor. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Hope you have a good time and appreciate your being here with us today. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I request that courtesies of the Senate be extended to Tara Kumar. Tara is a new intern in my office for the month of May. She's a senior at the Catlin Gable School, which is in my district, Mr. President. She's very interested in politics. Her favorite class is history. And after her graduation, she's going to be attending the University of Chicago. So, Mr. President, I request that courtesies of the Senate be granted to Tara Kumar. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Tara, thank you for being willing to intern in the good senator's office. I'm sure she'll learn from you, and you will learn from her. And a little bit about Catlin Gable, since my son's high school competed against Catlin Gable. And Catlin Gable beat the daylights out of us in track and field and soccer. So I'm not real happy about that, but I guess that's the way it is. They are the Eagles, in case you're interested. I'm not mistaken. They are the Eagles, are they not? Is that right, the Eagles? Yeah, that's good. My Sasha, right here, went to Catlin Gable. So I'm very familiar with Catlin Gable. They're an extraordinary school, extraordinary powerhouse, and so I'm sure that you'll have a great experience here and we'll benefit from your being here. Thank you, Tara. Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm going to ask that you give courtesies to two people that are on the floor today. Rudy Chavarria, who is sitting next to me, standing up now, is an employee at Lane County and has been one of the individuals that has been very focused in helping the county commissioners and the other members of the Lane County government to get their message out and to does different work for them. I also want to just recognize that sitting over with the good senator from Springfield is former Senator Bill Dwyer, and I ask that you give courtesies to both of them. I imagine Senator Morissette probably has a few words to say about our former colleague.
Again, what was the gentleman's name?
Rudy.
Rudy. All right, Rudy. Oh, yeah, Rudy. There's a film that was done for you, buddy. So I appreciate, Rudy, you being on the Senate floor today, and good luck in local government. You're struggling as hard as we are, so we're all in this together, Rudy. And I'm sure you'll help Lane County get through their crisis. So it's a privilege and honor to have you here. I'd like to extend a courtesy to Senator, do you? Senator Bill, where is Senator Bill Dwyer? I guess there he is. Yes, he's a former state senator and legislator here a long time, as well as having served in Lane County as a county commissioner. But Senator Barr said, I'm not going to recognize you. I'm recognizing him. So thank you, Senator Dwyer. I appreciate your being here. It's an honor and a privilege that you're here, and I'd like to extend our courtesies to a former colleague. It's always nice when former colleagues come back to visit us and tell us how they would do it if they were still here. Senator Bill Morissette, is this a courtesy or a remonstrance?
I'll let you decide.
Well, I don't know.
I want to talk about Bill Dwyer.
Well, let's.
And Bill Dwyer was a former representative and is a former senator. He's currently a Lane County commissioner, and he is the poet laureate of Lane County. And I will invite him at some point to come and recite poetry. You may not have known that about him.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Thank you. A lot of things I don't know about.
And yeah.
Thank you. Are there further courtesies? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, please join the Oregon Women's Health and Wellness Alliance in celebrating the 10th Annual National Women's Health Week, which celebrates the efforts to improve women's health and maintain it. And I'd like to read the Governor's proclamation. Whereas National Women's Health Week celebrates the extraordinary progress in women's health and recognizes that more needs to be done to safeguard the health of women for generations to come, and whereas women from all walks of life and at every stage of life have unique health needs that should be addressed, and whereas keeping women healthy and safe and promoting awareness of women's health issues depends on partnerships with social health and other services, and whereas women can promote health and prevent disease and illness by taking simple steps to improve their physical, mental, social, and spiritual health, and whereas women's health remains a priority for families, communities, and government, our commitment to keeping women healthy is stronger than ever. Now, therefore, I, Theodore R. Kulongoski, Governor of the State of Oregon, hereby proclaim May 10th through the 16th, 2009, to be National Women's Health Week in Oregon, and encourage all Oregonians to join in this observance. Colleagues, we are also having a health fair down in the Galleria, and we hope you will come down and join us for that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has passed House Bill 2186, 2629, 2199, 2512, 2636, 2831, 3056, 3128, 3298, 3418, 3462, 2056, 2105, 2229, 2285, 2457, 2707, 2910, 3089, 3099, 3177, 3345, 50, 30, 50, 31, 2335, 2430, adopted House Joint Memorial 15, and the Speaker has signed House Bills 2079, 5001, 5029, 5036.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance to the SRA 0.551 committee report, summary number 87 distributed May 8th, and summary 81 and 89 were distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and so order. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Frank Morris. Yes?
There we go.
Okay.
Didn't see the light on, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that HCR 1 and HCR 8 be taken from their places on today's third reading calendar and be made a special order of business immediately.
Senator Frank Morris has moved that HCR 1 and HCR 8 be taken from their places on today's third reading calendar and be made a special order of business immediately. To your motion.
Mr. President, it would be appropriate to do these memoriams immediately.
Discussion. Question is on taking HCR 1, HCR 8 from today's third reading calendar and making them a special order of business immediately. Those in favor will answer aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This motion has carried.
We will now proceed to the special order of business. I did good. The clerk will read the bill.
House Concurrent Resolution 1 in Memoriam Gene Mader, 1916 to 2008.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. It is indeed a privilege to carry HCR 1 to honor Dr. Gene Mader. Dr. Mader was a lady of firsts in her education, in her career, in her business, and in her community. She shattered the gender barriers by graduating from Cornell University with a master's degree in chemistry in 1940. And colleagues, this was at a time that it was exceptionally rare for women to work in the sciences. She was one of the first female chemists for Bell Labs, making significant contributions to World War II efforts to combat the infamous U-boats. She earned a doctoral degree from Oregon State College in the field of forest products chemistry in 1955. She was a champion of sustainable forest practices and was named one of the few women fellows on the Society of American Foresters. She was the first woman to lead a Chamber of Commerce in Oregon. And Dr. Mader was recognized as a Corvallis First Citizen and also a second time as a Corvallis Senior First Citizen. Colleagues, Dr. Mader's indomitable spirit, courage, and generosity left a mark on all who had the opportunity to meet her and to work with her. And her contributions have left Oregon in a much better place. Please join me in honoring Dr. Gene Mader with an aye vote today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Frank Morris. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, colleagues. Jean Mader was a good friend of mine. She was small in stature, huge in intellect, self-effacing, supremely self-confident, an academic, an intellectual, a teacher, a mother, and a warm friend. She was a towering Oregonian, and I hope you recognize her manifold contributions by your unanimous support of this well-deserved recognition of an outstanding woman.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Further discussion? Senator Morris, do you wish to close? Question number is upon the 30 and the final passage of HCR 1. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering, Walker.
Go on.
Absent, Walker, or excused. Carter, Whitsett, absent, Walker, 27 ayes.
HCR 1, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Concurrent Resolution 8, in memoriam Lynn Maureen Anglin, 1949 to 2008.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last week, I was pleasantly surprised when in my Committee on Human Services and Rural Health Policy, HCR 8 came across my committee and was unanimously passed. HCR 8 memorializes Lynn Anglin. Lynn was a friend of mine, a fellow CPA in Central Oregon, and Lynn and I served when I was president of the OSCPA Local Charter Board. She served with me, and over the years we developed quite a friendship. We worked a lot together on various issues. And the week before Lynn's untimely death, she was in my office talking to me about one of her passions, and that is childcare, and what I might be able to do if I were to be elected, which I was and will proceed in trying to do some of the things that Lynn wanted done. Lynn was vice chair of the Commission for Child Care, and she was on her way over to Salem from Prineville, where she lived, to to a meeting when she had a traffic accident, which took her from this world and took her to the next. Lynn also served, as I said, on the OSCPA with me. She was very involved in Natural Resource Committee work in Central Oregon and numerous things. And I just want to read a sentence which says a lot about Lynn from her son, Matt, who the family was here when this passed through the House. I don't believe anybody in the family is here today, but Matt sent me an email with very nice comments. But he says, "While my mother was alive, I knew that she gave her time and efforts to help her fellow Oregonians. But she was never one to pat herself on the back, and only after she passed have I learned the extent of how much she gave of herself." Lynn is one of those Oregonians that we wish we had a lot of. She gave extreme amount of time back to her community and to her state. So I encourage you to vote and help memorialize Lynn Anglin.
Thank you, Senator Telford. Further discussion? Question now rises upon third reading, the final passage of HCR 8. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Carter, Whitsett, absent, Walker, 27 ayes.
HCR 8, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading of the Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 15, in memoriam Sam Rupert Haley, 1919 to 2009. Senate Bill 241, relating to actions for possession of property and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 284, relating to civil actions. Senate Bill 603, relating to firearms. Senate Bill 636, relating to marks used in commerce and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 649, relating to pharmaceutical sales. Senate Bill 670, relating to mandatory reporters of abuse. Senate Bill 796, relating to death care and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 821, relating to health care expense agreements and declaring an emergency.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in the caucus room.
Recognize Senator Ted Farioli.
Mr. President, the Republicans would appreciate a 15-minute caucus.
Okay, the Senate will go into recess until 10:50 a.m. The Senate is now in recess.
Senator, please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prezonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of third reading of Senate measures and will resume under that order. It is so ordered. Now we're under the third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5550, relating to financial administration of the state treasurer and declaring an emergency.
I recognize Senator Jackie Winters, who will present, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 550 comes from your Joint Committee on Ways and Means. It comes from your committee unanimously, with the exception of two members who was absent. Senate Bill 550, as amended, is the budget bill for the State Treasurer's Office. The Treasurer serves as the banker for all state agencies and manages the investment of the state trust fund, invests the excess cash holdings of state agencies and participating local governments in the Oregon Short-Term Fund, and coordinates and approves bond sales. The State Treasurer's Office also administers the Oregon 529 College Savings Network Program. Your state treasurer's budget is financed entirely by other funds and receives no general fund appropriation. The approved budget totals approximately $35.6 million and supports 38 positions. The Ways and Means Committee approved an additional expenditure in this budget to improve the agency's financial importing functions and the investment of funds in the Oregon Savings Growth Plan. Additionally, the budget supports added investment. Mr. President, the budget supports added investment services for the Oregon 529 College Savings Network and one-time expenses to transfer that program to a new contract manager. These investments are supported to improve operations and protect investors in the Oregon 529 College Savings Network plans. The budget reduces expenditures for existing Treasury programs to better allow the agency to contain costs and avoid future fee increases. The budget also directs the state treasurer to report on performance-based bonus plans for investment officers working in other state governments and in the private sector before approving any such bonuses for the second year of the biennium. Approval of a requested state and local government debt tracking system is delayed. The agency may request approval of this project after submitting a business case for review. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends passage of Senate Bill 5550 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion of the measure? Our supervisor upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5550. The opinion bill is passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused Whitsett, voting no, Atkinson, Farioli, George, Cruz, 25 ayes.
The House Senate Bill 5550, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 515, relating to warranties on motor vehicles and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the Nobel Prize-winning economist George Akerlof once wrote a paper titled The Market for Lemons, Quality, Uncertainty, and Market Mechanism. Dr. Akerlof discussed information asymmetry, which is when the seller has more knowledge about a product than the buyer. This affects the buyer's perception and confidence level and ultimately the price that the buyer will be willing to pay. And what does that have to do with Senate Bill 515, colleagues? The issue is consumer confidence. In difficult economic times like we are in now, it is important to take steps to build consumer confidence. If Oregonians are able to afford to use their hard-earned money to buy a car, it is critical that they have the assurance that the manufacturer will stand behind that purchase. When our constituents purchase new cars or used cars still under warranty, they expect those automobiles to function at the highest level. It's often the largest or one of the largest purchases that they will make in their lives. Under most circumstances, their expectations are met, but every once in a while, a new car will have a defect so substantial that it cannot be repaired. And as we know, colleagues, these cars are called lemons. Oregon has had a lemon law for years. However, ours is one of the weakest in the country and includes undefined provisions that can lead to avoidable disputes. By strengthening and clarifying our state's lemon law, we can take an important step toward rebuilding consumer confidence and stimulating the market for new automobiles in our great state. Senate Bill 515A is the result of a compromise process. Our work group, consisting of consumer advocates, auto manufacturers, auto dealers, and the Department of Justice, came together and went through every clause of the bill. We heard input from both sides and made decisions based on the merits of each argument. This collaborative process resulted in the bill before you today, colleagues, a bill that passed unanimously from the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. During this process, the manufacturers of recreational vehicles, the motorhome manufacturers, participated in the hearings and the workgroup meetings. And in recognition of the importance of the RV industry to our state, we included some amendments specific to motorhomes. Additionally, national consumer groups, RV manufacturers, and industry groups have worked over the past decade to draft a model lemon law for RVs. We are the first state to be granted access to this draft legislation, and although it's not yet in a form ready to implement, we do plan to continue to work on this issue. So here's what Senate Bill 515A does. In states across the U.S., the time period to discover that a car is a lemon varies, but Oregon's, colleagues, is the shortest of several options. In 515A, Oregon joins numerous other states, like Washington and Idaho, by covering a time period of 24 months or 24,000 miles, whichever comes first. Senate Bill 515A also changes the number of times a consumer must bring the car in to repair for the same substantial problem before the car can be considered a lemon. We changed from 4 to 3, a provision that was modeled after that in several other states. Likewise, colleagues, in the interest of safety, Senate Bill 515A will have Oregon join many states that do not require multiple attempts to fix a defect that is likely to cause death or serious bodily injury. And colleagues, that's one of the provisions that's in the model RV lemon law. The bill also specifies what collateral charges can be reimbursed and clarifies the formula used to calculate the value of the consumer's use of the car before it's returned as a lemon, areas that are now undefined and frequently litigated. And this happens, colleagues, if there is a lemon and a customer takes it back and the dealer is going to refund the money, and that comes from the manufacturer. They don't refund the entire price because the consumer's been driving the car. So this puts in law a formula so that is clear. And we have separate formulas for motorhomes and motorcycles. These definitions of collateral charge in the formula for reasonable allowance for use, modeled after provisions in other states, will provide clarity and actually cut down on litigation costs. And importantly, colleagues, Oregon is one of the only states in the country that does not now require full disclosure that the car was a lemon if the car is resold. 515A requires that the words lemon law buyback be printed on the title of any vehicle returned under the lemon law so that potential future buyers will be informed. And this was a provision that was supported by everyone who was involved with the bill. And finally, colleagues, if there's a lemon and the consumer needs to resort to litigation, the bill restricts an award of attorney's fees to the manufacturer to situations where the consumer has brought the case in bad faith or for harassment. Now, colleagues, I want to emphasize that liability and lemon law cases rest with the manufacturer. Now, these are many of the manufacturers got billions of dollars, don't forget, in taxpayer bailout money. This does not affect the dealer, and I want to read to you ORS 646A414. Nothing in that statute is Oregon Lemons Law creates a cause of action by a consumer against a vehicle dealer. We're talking about out-of-state manufacturers here, colleagues. And the only thing that changes with regard to that in this bill is the provision that requires that the Lemon Law buyback be noted on the title. And colleagues, I again want to emphasize that everyone supported that provision of the bill. So the only possible dealer liability under this bill would be if the dealer willfully resold the lemon knowingly without disclosing that on the branded title. Colleagues, a recent Accenture survey shows that consumers are shopping for new cars, and we can expect that as soon as there's a thaw in the credit market, they'll be ready to buy. Now more than ever, our constituents want and need to know that they're getting what they paid for with their hard-earned dollars. When a car is a lemon, it is not reliable and often not safe. Someone stuck with a lemon can't get to work, to the store, to visit or care for friends or family. Please join me in taking steps to rebuild confidence in Oregon consumers. Please vote aye on Senate Bill 515A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Dingfelder and Senator Burdick. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the Sergeant of Arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call. All members subject to the call are present. The question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 515. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder.
Senator Dingfelder. Senator Dingfelder.
Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Whitsett, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Verger, 17 ayes.
The Senate Bill 515, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures, please.
House Joint Memorial 15, urging Congress to pass legislation and appropriate funds for free post-secondary education. House Bill 5030, relating to financial administration of the Oregon Medical Board and declaring an emergency. House Bill 5031, relating to financial administration of the Oregon State Board of Nursing and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2056, relating to Health Regulatory Board membership and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2105, relating to purchase of bonds and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2186, relating to greenhouse gas emissions and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2199, relating to financial regulation and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2229, relating to recommendation of Oregon Task Force on Land Use Planning and declaring an emergency. House Bill Bill 2285 relating to crime, House Bill 2335 relating to crime, House Bill 2430 relating to application of prevailing rate of wage and declaring an emergency, House Bill 2457 relating to designing of residential fire sprinkler systems, House Bill 2512 relating to fallen public safety officer registration plate, House Bill 2629 relating to crimes involving animals, House Bill 2636 relating to taking wildlife, House Bill 2707 relating to supplemental temporary disability benefits and workers' compensation claims, House Bill 2831 relating to public employment, House Bill 2910 relating to professional real estate activity conducted by real estate licensee, House Bill 3056 relating to urban renewal and declaring an emergency, House Bill 3089 relating to wildlife, House Bill 3099 relating to use of land zone for exclusive farm use, House Bill 3128 relating to surety bonds required by Oregon Liquor Control Commission, House Bill 3177 relating to motor vehicle fuel, House Bill 3298 relating to land reserves, House Bill 3345 relating to workers' compensation claims, House Bill 3418 relating to reimbursement for health care delivered through integrated health home model and declaring an emergency, House Bill 3462 relating to building inspection program personnel.
We'll do the second reading of House measures, then I'll go back to, I'll recognize Senator Dingfelder after we do that, please. Go ahead. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2052.
I want to do the second reading of House measures, then we'll come to you. Go ahead, please.
House Bill 2052 relating to established specified facilities. House Bill 2097 relating to carrier of last resort obligations and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2106 relating to bonds for schools and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2127 relating to notices in contested cases. House Bill 2161 relating to central assessment for property tax purposes. House Bill 2206 relating to child care. House Bill 2315 relating to records in possession of Department of Public Safety Standards and Training and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2528 relating to special events licenses. House Bill 2610 relating to health care professionals. House Bill 2611 relating to preceding year production limits for brewery public house licenses selling at wholesale and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2654 relating to local option taxes, House Bill 2658 relating to oral prosthetic devices.
These are past the calendar. Senator Dingfelder, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could request a return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you. I'd like to ask my colleagues to welcome Laurelhurst Elementary School. We have about 80 members here. Yay! From my district, and also welcome their leader, Cassandra Wilson. They're in the fourth grade, and really pleased to have you here today to observe the Senate. Welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize the Laurelhurst Elementary School students who are in the back gallery, and I hope that you're having a good day in your state capitol. Hope you come back and see us again. It is your state capitol. It's an honor and a privilege to have Laurelhurst School represented here today. Thank you, Senator Dingfelder. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to each one of the students and to Sandra, the leader. Thank you. We'll now return to the regular order of the Senate. The regular order of business is the third reading of House measures, and would the clerk please read the bill.
House Joint Resolution 16, recognizing the responsibility of Oregon in providing leadership and nation stewardship of oceans and that loss of research vessel Wacoma without replacement is net economic loss to Oregon.
Recognize Senator Joanne Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Joint Resolution 16 recognizes the responsibility of Oregon in providing leadership in the nation's stewardship in the ocean. The research vessel Wacoma, a large research vessel based in Newport, Oregon, with 30 years of operation, needs replacement. The Wacoma without replacement would be a net economic loss to Oregon. HJR 16 resolves to support the operation of a new ocean-class research vessel to be obtained through a competitive proposal to the U.S. Navy. The proposal includes $500,000 per year beginning in 2014 when the research vessel becomes operative. Two vessels will be built, $100 million each, one for the East Coast and one for the West Coast. The federal government will fund the bulk of the operation cost, estimated at $5 million a year. The state will benefit from ship-related jobs, Mr. President, and annual expenditures of approximately $3.5 million associated with the ship. Resources are not required now, but the resolution is necessary so that Oregon State University can begin the process of submitting a competitive bid. I ask for your support, and I vote on this important resolution.
Thank you, Senator Berger. Further discussion? Question now rise upon 30 and the final passage of H.J.R. 16. Those opinion bills pass the aisle. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Whitsett, 28 ayes.
The H.J.R. 16, having received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 5043, relating to financial administration of the Public Utility Commission and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the budget bill for the Public Utility Commissioner. The Public Utility Commission is a three-member commission that sets and approves customer rates. Its job is to make sure that customers have the lowest rates possible while providing the utility companies with a reasonable profit. A couple of things you need to know. It's $135 million, 128 positions. It is actually 4.1% total funds decrease over the 07-09 legislatively approved budget. This came out of your Ways and Means Committee on a unanimous 20-0 vote. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of the House Bill 5043. Those opinion bills shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George. Gerard, Haas, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Prezonsky,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Ferger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett, Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
aye.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick, Carter, Devlin,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
Excused, Carter, Whitsett, voting no, Atkinson, 27 ayes.
The House Bill 5043, having received the constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5044, relating to financial administration of the Oregon Racing Commission and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 5044 is the budget bill for the Oregon Racing Commission. The Racing Commission regulates all aspects of racing in Oregon, including live and simulcast horse and greyhound race meets, off-track betting facilities, and wagering through 11 interstate wagering hubs that are located in Oregon. Commission revenues are received from the state share of parimutuel receipts from the race meets and the hubs, from licenses and fees, and from unclaimed winnings. The 09-11 $1.4 million in hub revenues are projected to be transferred to the general fund. These guys make us money. The recommended budget totals $6,114,165 other funds and 14.52 full-time equivalent positions. The budget contains the agency's current program level and does not include any policy packages. The recommended budget does not require an amendment to the original bill. The agency is taking steps to improve customer service performance measure results and collect more comprehensive information from customers. The commission will report on its progress during the interim. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5044.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Recognize Senator Rod Monroe, please.
I'd like to announce a possible conflict of interest.
Please place your potential conflict of interest on the record.
Mr. President, my daughter-in-law is the chief bookkeeper for Portland Meadows.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
To the bill, Mr. President.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank the good chair of the committee on this bill. I particularly noted that in the measure summary from LFO that in the future that the ending funds balance for other funds will equal approximately 3 months of operating expenses, and I wish that were the statewide standard. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Johnson, you wish to close?
Mr. President, thank you.
Question all right, upon third reading, the final passage of 5044, House Bill 5044. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
No.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick.
Senate verdict. Senate verdict.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. Voting no. Atkinson. George. Cruz. 26 ayes.
The House Bill 5044 and Wisconsin majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 5045 relating to financial administration of the real estate agency and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 5045 comes to you unanimously out of the Full Ways and Means Committee. The Oregon Real Estate Agency is responsible for the licensing, education, and enforcement of Oregon's real estate laws. House Bill 5045 is the appropriation bill for the agency. The agency is fully supported by fees and receives no general funds. The budget recommended by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means totals $8,637,055 other funds and 30.63 FTE. The recommended budget makes permanent one full-time equivalent position. The position was approved as limited duration in the 07-09 biennium pending a review by the new incoming commissioner. The recommended budget also includes additional expenditure limitation for the upgrade of the agency's intranet and the completion of the final phase of an online licensing and e-commerce system. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved continuation of the agency's six performance measures with a recommendation that the agency work with DAS and LFO to review and modify three of its measures to better reflect outcomes related to compliance, investigations, and applicant testing. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5045.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now rises upon authority in the final passage of House Bill 5045. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard.
Oh, wait.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. 24 ayes.
Please note for the record, I have a potential conflict of interest in that my brother-in-law is in the real estate business and is a licensed real estate agent. House Bill 5045, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5046, relating to financial administration of the real estate agency and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 5046A is the Oregon Real Estate Agency Fee Bill. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends that the bill be amended to increase the criminal background check fee from $40 to $47. The agency requires a criminal background check be conducted on all new license applicants. The intent of the fee increase is for the applicants to pay the full cost of this service, which is provided through the Oregon State Police. At the lower rate of $40, existing licensees were subsidizing the cost of the service for new licensees. The new fee is effective July 1, 2009. The fee increase is expected to generate $21,000 in other fund revenues. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5046A.
Further discussion? Please note for the record, I have a potential conflict of interest. I have a brother-in-law who's in the real estate business and is a licensed real estate agent. Do you wish to no further discussion? The question arises upon the third reading and final passage of the House Bill. Excuse me. Recognize Senator Cruz.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, on both 5045 and 5046, I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest. My brother is a real estate agent.
54K. So without objection, well, let's do this. Recognize that you now have a potential conflict of interest before you vote on House Bill 5046. I want to come back to 5045 today. Okay, thank you. Any other further discussions? Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, the same motion, a potential conflict of interest. My aunt is a registered real estate agent.
Okay, we'll note that for House Bill 5046, potential conflict of interest. We're going to come back to 5045. Further discussion? Question I rise upon the final reading, final passage, the third reading, final passage of House Bill 5046. Clerk will please read the roll. Those in favor play aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk call the roll.
Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer.
For what?
Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Morse. Nelson. Telfer. 20 ayes.
The House Bill 5047 have received constant majority declared passed. We're going to go back to House Bill 5044. We'll go back to House Bill 5045. Are there any objections to allowing... Is there any objection to allowing Senator Jeff Cruz to enter a potential conflict? Jason Atkinson first on House Bill 5045, right? Senator Atkinson, any objection allowing Senator Atkinson to enter a potential conflict of interest? I see none. Senator Jason Atkinson, do you want to officially note that?
I officially note that my aunt is a registered real estate agent.
Thank you. And Jeff Cruz, do you wish to comment on 5045 too?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And I apologize. I thought I could do a twofer and save time, but my brother is a real estate agent.
Thank you. And Senator Marquez, do you also wish to be recognized?
Yes, Mr. President. My sister is a registered licensed real estate agent.
For purposes of 5045, okay.
Right. Yes.
Your potential conflict of interest have been noted on House Bill 5045. We will now go to House Bill 5046. Is there, Senator Marquez, do you wish to be recognized on that bill as well?
Yes, Mr. President.
Then would you please note your potential conflict of interest for House Bill 5046?
My sister is a potential real estate agent. My potential conflict is... she has a lot of potential, and she's a real estate agent.
Thank you. These potential conflict of interest have been noted without objections for the respective bills 5045 and 5046. I myself also would like unanimous consent to allow me to enter on 5045. I think technically, even though my gavel hadn't gone down, I did not note it before I had officially voted on 5045. So if there's no objection, I will now note my potential conflict of interest on the House Bill 5045, having a brother who was a real estate agent in the real estate business. Recognize Senator Mark Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to register a potential conflict as well. My two-year-old great-great-granddaughter wants to be in real estate.
Right. I want to acknowledge that the thing about noting potential conflict of interest is the Secretary of Senate has informed me. You're supposed to do it not necessarily before my gavel goes down, but before you vote. You can remember that before you officially vote, if you would, and we all miss that occasion, note your potential conflict of interest. Otherwise, technically, we have to go back and ask for unanimous consent to allow it to be done. So if you would, please, it is sometimes it gets biased, but those are the rules.
and the Secretary of Senate has so advised me. All right. I think we've taken care of 5045, 546 for potential conflicts of interest. I will now go to recognize and have the clerk read the next bill, please.
House Bill 5047, relating to financial administration of the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Fred Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5047 is the budget bill for the Teachers Standards and Practices Commission, also known as the TSPC. The commission issues licenses and registrations to teachers, administrators, and other educational personnel. This budget is supported by other funds generated from licensing and registration fees. The Subcommittee on Education approved the budget of $5,354,479 in other funds with 25 full-time equivalent positions. This budget authorizes an additional 3.5 full-time equivalent positions to address an increased level of discipline cases and one full-time equivalent position to maintain and upgrade technology business systems. The Subcommittee on Education recommends House Bill 5047 be amended and reported out due pass as recommended. No fee increase, 6-month ending balance. Before those of you that are keeping track, this is a 5% increase.
Further discussion? Question now rises upon authority to final passage of House Bill 5047. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Schrader. Starr.
No.
Telfer.
No.
Berger.
No.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates.
Bates.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. President Courtney. Excused, Whitsett. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Farioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 22 ayes.
The House Bill 5047.
House Bill 2087, relating to nonprofit corporations that maintain historic cemeteries.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2087 prohibits the Secretary of State from charging a fee to nonprofit corporations that maintain historic cemeteries. In order to qualify, historic cemeteries must have at least one burial of a person who died before February 14, 1909, thus within 50 years of statehood. And thus, this is a class that will not grow over time. The bill will help preserve Oregon's historic cemeteries and honor Oregon's pioneer heritage by decreasing the cost to maintain those cemeteries. The bill was unanimously supported in committee, and I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Further discussion? Question now arises upon third reading the final passage of House Bill 2087. Those in opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett, Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
yes.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Farioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Girard, Hass. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2087, absent Chicago majority, declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2090, relating to notaries public.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2090 deals with the somewhat esoteric practice called protesting commercial paper. And this is a practice that is typically done to facilitate banking transactions. But what's happened, according to the Secretary of State office, which oversees notaries, is that sometimes notaries have been using a protest of commercial paper not to facilitate banking transactions, but to harass public officials, including judges, corrections officials, and law enforcement officials. So House Bill 2090 restricts the use of a notary protest to notaries who are officers or employees of a financial institution or investment company, member of the Oregon State Bar, or serve under the supervision of those officers, employees, or members of financial institutions. And this, colleagues, will prohibit notaries from protesting commercial paper in those inappropriate circumstances, and I urge your aye vote, colleagues, of House Bill 2090. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicky Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to state a potential conflict of interest.
Please state it for the record.
I am a notary public. However, I did not know about notaries doing this sort of harassment. But I am a notary, and so I am. That's my conflict.
The potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Further discussion. Recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
My chief of staff is a notary, so I'll declare a potential conflict.
Your potential conflict of interest has been noted for the record. Further discussion. Question arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2090. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett, 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2090, having received constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2135 relating to residential rental property smoking policies.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2135 would require landlords to disclose their smoking policy to prospective renters, and the disclosure would include whether the smoking is prohibited, allowed anywhere, or allowed in limited areas on the premises. It would allow. It would include where smoking is allowed, if applicable. This bill is going to make it easier for renters to be informed consumers and find housing that is free of secondhand smoke. Rental housing is one of the few remaining indoor places where non-smokers are inadvertently exposed to secondhand smoke. 70% of Oregon renters, including 38% of those who smoke, would choose smoke-free housing if it were available. Many renters are especially vulnerable to the harmful effects of secondhand smoke, including the elderly, people with chronic health conditions and disabilities, and people with lower income. Fewer renters would enter into rental agreements assuming protection from secondhand smoke, only to become exposed to it in their units after they move in. This legislation would not apply to rental agreements in which the owner of a manufactured home or floating home is renting space in a park or moorage. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage, House Bill 2135. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. Voting no. George Gerard. 27 ayes.
The House Bill 2135, having some constant majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2240, relating to chiropractic physicians.
Recognized Senator Bill Marsette.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill comes from the Senate Committee on Health Care and Rural Health Policy, brought to us by the Board, State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, who feel that they're being ignored. And the purpose of their bill is to, well, let me tell you why they're ignored. The statute requires, the current statute, that malpractice insurers to report claims and to licensing boards for medical doctors, dentists, optometrists, nurse practitioners, and naturopaths, and the chiropractors want to be added to this list of people who must report any irregularities. So it's published on their website, and people know that if there are irregularities. Good bill, should pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2240. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pazonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Senator Devlin.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2240, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2244, relating to certificates of death and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Rob Monroe, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are two kinds of fees that happen when you die. The first is a filing fee that is paid by the mortician, and that's what this bill deals with. The second is a per document fee that a person may need if they have to prove that somebody died for purposes of insurance or whatever. The per document fee does not change with this bill. It is $20 for your first copy and $15 for additional copies, and you apply through the county for that fee. So back to House Bill 2244. For many, many years, the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board has been badly mismanaged. Some people even say corrupt. But they've straightened out their act, and they've got a new administrator, and they're trying to do the job that they were appointed to do. Because of the difficulties with this board, they have not received any fee increases in over 20 years. And that's why this fee increase is rather substantial. There are two things that this money goes to. $6 of the 20 goes to the cost of burying indigent persons. When bodies are located, or somebody dies on the street, or somebody dies and leaves no known relative or contact, the mortician that has to deal with that, dispose of those remains, receives a payment from the Mortuary and Cemetery Board, but currently that payment is far less than the actual cost of disposing. This bill would allow that fee to increase to $6. The other $14 goes to the Mortuary and Cemetery Board so that they can do their job of investigating corruption, of making sure that people's dollars are set aside for that purpose. These morticians in the past have sometimes gone out and solicited money from especially aging persons to pay for their upcoming disposal and funeral in advance. You've all seen the ads. And then sometimes what has happened is when the person dies, The money is gone. It's not there. Something else has happened to it. The mortuary board is supposed to carefully check on these kinds of practices. If we want them to do their job, we need to give them this fee increase. The $14 will allow them to do that. There is another issue that was raised by my subcommittee and the Full Ways and Means Committee, and that is this. Why aren't morticians charged a flat fee like doctors or lawyers or dentists? And the answer is that not all mortuary businesses are the same size. In large urban areas like Portland, a mortuary business may deal with hundreds and hundreds of clients, whereas in a small town like John Day, they may only deal with a few in a given year. Now, should the mortician with a thriving urban business pay more than the mortician who only occasionally deals with a deceased person? And the committee felt like that is appropriate. It is appropriate, and that's why they're charged per body, not a flat fee per year. If we want the State Board of Cemetery and Mortuary to do their job, if we want morticians to have a reasonable fee for dealing with indigent disposal, then we need to support this fee today. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Fred Dryer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no on this bill, and I have several concerns. First of all, for you that are tracking it, my good co-chair brought out a point that this doesn't involve the death certificate, which I think most of us believe that it did initially. But now it seems to be even worse because this is a filing fee that has to be filed with the Center of Health Statistics. The first question, an obvious question, is why can't they get that off of a death certificate? And the second thing is you have to question the nexus. The nexus is this money is being used to monitor the board. I belong to a board. I pay a license fee. This money is used directly for the cemetery or the morticians to be regulated. It is paid by the individual that is needs to file this statistic. The second thing is the indigent burial. Again, you have to look at the nexus. Is there a nexus between indigent burial and notifying the Center for Health Statistics that someone died? I say no. And so, Mr. President, I bring up a point of order. Is this a tax or is this a fee?
Thank you, Senator. Recognize further discussion. Recognize Senator Ted Farioli.
Mr. President, I think I heard the previous speaker bring up a point of order.
Is that a point of order? Do you wish to request a point of order, Senator Dryer?
I believe that there is a vote differential if it's deemed to be a fee or deemed to be a tax. This, in my mind, is a clear tax.
The Senate will stand at ease. I will back on record. I have spoken with legislative counsel, who also met with legislative fiscal staff. I've been advised it is a fee and not a tax. And with that, that's the decision of the chair. Senator Fred Girard, that is the decision of the chair. Do you wish to comment on it?
Mr. President, I would like to put this to a vote because I...
All right, you're challenging the chair.
I am challenging
right.
the chair.
So the individual who Senator Girard has said indicates that he wishes to challenge the chair. Speak to that, and then we go right to a vote because it's not open to discussion. So speak to the motion where you are challenging the chair's ruling that this is a fee and not a tax, therefore it does not require a three-fifths vote, please.
Colleagues, I think this is a clear example of a tax. And the reason it is a tax is the only thing the individual, or in this case the estate, is paying for is the notification to the Center of Health Statistics that someone died. That's all you're paying for. Okay? Now tell me the benefits that the state gets from doing that. A, do they need to have the mortician's real estate board overseeing? The question is no, because this is the only example in this state where the client, or in this case the dead person, is paying for the oversight. I am an example of somebody that has a license, that has a board, and I pay directly for my license. I do not pay it through the client. Part two is the indigent burial fund. They're not paying for the indigent burial fund. They're not the ones that are going to be buried. All they're asking for is the statistic, which the state mandates that be done. So in all honesty, for those two reasons, I think it is a tax. And I think it's very clear that it is a tax. And it is quite different than any legal opinion that was issued by LC to deal with death certificates.
All right. You ready to go? All right. The question before us is whether or not the ruling of the chair should be upheld. And the ruling of the chair is that it is a fee, it is not a tax. So those who are in favor of upholding the ruling of the chair will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed will answer nay. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Monroe. Aye. Morissette. Morse.
Senator Morse?
Excuse me, Mr. President. What are we voting on?
What you're voting on is a motion to uphold the ruling of the chair that this is a fee and not a tax.
Okay.
If you support the motion of if you wish to support the chair's ruling, you will vote aye. If you wish to disagree with the chair's ruling, you will vote no.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And therefore, how do you vote?
Nelson. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Whitsett, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Winters. 18 ayes.
The ruling of the chair has been upheld. Is there further discussion of the measure which is now before us? Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it has been said that the only thing in this life that is inevitable is death and taxes. This is a twofer, Mr. President. This is a tax. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion of the measure? Senator Monroe, do you wish to close? He says no. We are now going to vote on this measure. We're now going to vote on the measure. Question now arises upon a third reading and the final passage of House Bill 2244. Those opinion, the measure should pass, will say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Posonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Farioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2244, having cost a majority, declared passed. Senator Bill Morissette, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, we had 43 students from Springfield, Yolanda Elementary in the gallery for part of the last hearing of the last bill. So I ask you to welcome them to the Capitol, wherever they are.
Yes, I'd like to welcome the students from Springfield in the school. We were in the midst of a bit of a contentious issue, therefore I felt I could not recognize them at this time, but I do want to recognize them wherever they are in the Capitol. We're very pleased you would come to your state Capitol and very pleased that you would come to the state Senate chambers. We hope that you have a good day and you'll come back to see us soon. I'd like to send a courtesy Senate to you. Okay, we'll now return to the regular order of Senate measures and business. Will clerk read the bill?
House Bill 2268, relating to requirements for customer authorization of motor vehicle repairs.
Recognize Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2268A comes from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs without opposition. House Bill 2268A will create documentation and authorization requirements for motor vehicle teardown, maintenance, and repair, and except under certain specified circumstances will require authorization based upon estimated costs prior to performing the teardown, maintenance, or repairs. It amends the Oregon Unlawful Trade Practices Act by adding violations to the list of unlawful trade practices and provides for enforcement actions by the Attorney General and private rights of action. Colleagues, in 2007 and again in 2008, the Department of Justice received at least 100 complaints regarding the motor vehicle maintenance and repair industry. Many of these complaints allege the performance of unnecessary services or repairs and the providing of goods or services different from ordered or paid for or promised. We have the opportunity today with House Bill 2268A to enhance consumer protection and address many of these complaints while protecting Oregon small business from costly regulations and superfluous paperwork. Proper disclosures of estimated costs and appropriate authorizations based on estimated costs will ensure consumers and maintenance repair shops are on the same page regarding costs to be incurred and services to be provided. House Bill 2268A is the result of diligent effort on the part of the Department of Justice and the auto repair and maintenance industry to create a bill that is beneficial to both consumers and auto shops. It will give consumers the tools necessary to make informed decisions about auto repairs and maintenance and will help avoid many disputes between consumers and vehicle maintenance and repair shops. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question on the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2268. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Morse. Nelson. Posonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Whitsett, voting no, Cruz, Nelson, Winters, 26 ayes.
The House Bill 2268, having substantial majority, is declared passed. Without objection, I will carry the remaining House measures over till tomorrow's calendar. So ordered. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 109 and 110, distributed to members May 8th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal of the State's report and so order. Representative Metzger, for what purpose do you rise?
I was waiting for announcements.
All right, now I'm under announcements. Representative Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Because of the good work of the Senate Business and Transportation Committee, we're all caught up. We will not be meeting today. A reminder, we're not meeting today at 1 o'clock.
With announcements, recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you recall, Senate Finance and Revenue is also not meeting today.
Recognize Senator Devlin, please. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, get your lunch and be at caucus at 12:25.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans have a very important caucus to attend, so please get your lunches and go immediately to the Republican caucus room. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? If there are no further announcements without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, which is Tuesday, May 12th. The Senate is adjourned.